blackness. Everybody wants to attack my blackness. Everybody wants to subtract my blackness. Everybody wants to attack my blackness. Blackness, 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 blackness. Everybody wants to attack my blackness. Everybody wants to subtract my blackness. Everybody wants to attack my blackness. Blackness, blackness, blackness.
Hey everybody, welcome to The Other Experience. It's your host, Just JB, and we have an amazing guest. He is one of the biggest influencers in the city of Philadelphia and a fellow pro wrestling fan. Ladies and gentlemen, Jay the Gentleman. What's up, Jay? How you doing?
We got to stay united, us wrestling fans.
Yep.
I'm good, man. How are you? It's been a while.
I know, man. It's been a bit. How are you doing? How are you feeling? How's life? You're a busy man, so.
I appreciate it. No, everything's cool, man. Like, you know, like it's one of those things where as you get older, time goes quicker and it's an illusion, basically. I can't believe it's already November.
It's crazy.
It's pretty insane. So with that being said, everything's been great. The team has been good. I've been good. You know, we're recording on election day. So
crazy.
There's a lot of anxiety. you know, I voted earlier today, you know, so, with that being said, I'm cool. I'm good. You know,
that's good, man. We can get into a little bit with the election, too. But, you know, yeah, it's a big day. I know there's a lot of anxiety out there. You know, it's you can go one way or the other with everything out there right now. And yeah. I hope we're all on the right side of history. I'll just start it with that. Sure. So, you know, we've talked about I told you a couple months ago or like back when I guess Mania was coming around or Mania festivities were going on that I had the idea for this podcast. And you seemed really game for it from the start. So I just from off the bat want to say thank you for being on here and raising awareness and giving your point of view, man. So, you know, we'll get to it. So I guess my first question is like, so I noticed you and I also being wrestling fans, we're exposed to a lot of things in the world of pro wrestling. And one of them is music. We have connected with music. Like if anyone that watches pro wrestling, like when there's promo and when there's, you know, stuff for a upcoming match. I mean, they usually play everything from rap, but they play a lot of rock music and a lot of like metal and a lot of all types of stuff. And all the theme songs are different genres and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we talked in the past about like on social media, you mentioned like, oh yeah, I'm seeing this band. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I wanted to see that band. I think, forgive me if I'm wrong. I think it was Aerosmith or something like that. It was some type of iconic rock band that you were interested in seeing or something like that.
It might've been Green Day.
Maybe Green Day. Okay, cool.
I missed Aerosmith, but yeah. Oh, you know who it was? So last year I saw a bunch of people, but I think it was I had a run in the fall where I saw Duran Duran. Sheik.
That's what? That's awesome.
I saw Depeche Mode. That was the other band. Yeah, that was all like what? For some reason, like in the fall, like September to November, it's the best. I don't know. I guess like. It just makes sense for their tours, but there's a lot of artists that come through Philly around that time. So the last 3 years or so, that's where I see the majority of like top tier acts for myself, like in Philadelphia. So yeah.
That's amazing, man. So off the bat, like I hear you talking about some amazing iconic bands, especially from the 80s, with Duran Duran and Depeche Mode. So off the bat, with you having an eclectic music taste, did you ever face any judgment or dare I say like backlash or you know, everything under that umbrella because you're a black man or an individual that likes that type of music? Have you ever faced anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. To introduce myself, like I am mixed. I am half African American and also Mexican American. So you know, I grew up with on my mother's side, which is the Mexican American side. So in San Antonio, where in a part of the city where, first of all, San Antonio doesn't have a huge African American population as it is. And even to this day, it's really not that big. And where I grew up in the South side, you know, it was majority Mexican American, first generation. And it was a pretty big, predominant white community as well. And literally in my high school, there was probably like 4.5, 5.5 like black people in my high school. With that being said, with the music taste that I had grew up with, the genres that I were listening to when I was growing up, I lived in a house of 10 people. So, and it was different generations. So I was exposed to what my grandparents would listen to, which was a lot of like the old school country music, a lot of the big band era stuff, a lot of mariachi, old school, kind of Mexican influenced music. And then I had like my mother who listened to, you know, 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, R&B, funk, soul, all that stuff. My uncle, who at the time was in his 20s, he listened to Depeche Mode, as I mentioned earlier. A lot of the new wave, a lot of dance music like Madonna at the time. And, you know, kind of like that club dance, like house music in the early 90s. That was very popular, like CNC music, fast food, that kind of stuff. And I had another uncle. Yeah, exactly. And I had another uncle who was very classic rock. And he's on the spectrum. So one of his superpowers is he's really good with like dates, and he'll tell you like what year the song was made in what studio, that what year it came out, and just a whole thing. And then I had three older sisters, and we grew up listening to, you know, stuff from the 80s and 90s. So you're talking about like alternative music, grunge, but also the GOAT era of R&B, which is the 90s, 90s hip hop. Going into my formative years of, you know, you have the alternative music, late 90s pop, and then you have like the quote unquote new metal and, you know, kind of that stuff. Also, my one uncle listened to classic rock. He also listens to like heavy metal. So a lot of Ozzy Osbourne, a lot of Black Sabbath, Metallica, Iron Maiden, that stuff. So I'm listening to all of this, you know, whether I wanted to or not, getting exposed. I don't know what your demographic is, but for the younger generation, when MTV actually played videos, there was nothing but music videos played consistently, whether it was MTV, BET, VH1. So yep. You're constantly listening to and watching these videos where you become a fan of an artist that you may not even really know the music exists, but the video is really cool or the song is really cool. So you kind of get into a deep dive into them. And that's how I got into like a lot of Nine Inch Nails and Tool, because they had really, really great videos, you know, on top of the other artists that were doing, you know, monumental videos at the time. So that's kind of where I got my taste from. So with that being said, growing up in San Antonio, as you know, whether I'm black and Mexican or not, they're going to see me as black people, as a black person. So they're just going to assume I'm only going to listen to the hip hop, or I'm going to only listen to the R&B. So if I'm listening to rock music or classical or whatever, like, why are you listening to that? You're black. You should be listening to just the hip, like, and it's just, and that was the mentality for a lot of people that I grew up with. And it sounds ridiculous and crazy now, but it's true. Like, my sisters went through it too, you know? So of course, yeah, I definitely, even when I was in college, like when I came to Temple, you know, and I was around like, that was like the first time I was really exposed to reggaeton, because when I was growing up in San Antonio, we didn't have a lot of Puerto Rican, Caribbean, Dominican, you know, influences. So the whole salsa, merengue, bachata, reggaeton, dembow, like that was all new to me when I got to college. So I didn't know any of that, you know. And when I would play like Fall Out Boy or, you know, whatever, because I just felt like I wanted to listen to it, they're like, why are you listening? Like, who is that? Like, what is this? Like, turn this off. And now it's like, everyone listens to everything because of streaming, because there's so much access to SoundCloud and, you know, all that stuff. So it was really all the way up until college. It was right around 2004 to 2009, where people were starting to kind of be okay with other people listening to genres of different types of genres of music. And that's just what it was. It was very tribalism growing up. Like, you either listen to emo or hip hop or rock, and that was it. You couldn't, like, which was goofy to me, because like, music is music.
Exactly, man. I agree 100%.
That was a long rant. I'm sorry. I promise it was a full circle. Like, I brought it all together. Man.
That was great. That's it. Show's over. No, it's messing with no, bro. But like, I completely understand. Well, first off, that's an amazing wide range of music. I am a musician myself. Like, I am a little teensy bit about me. Like I my mom used to talk to me about how she loved Bob Dylan growing up and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And, you know, I was raised with like a lot of Al Green, Bob mm-hmm. Marley, the Marvelettes, mm-hmm. Smokey Robinson, Jackie Wilson, James Brown, yada, yada, mm-hmm. yada, Motown, everything like that.
So all of that I started listening to when I was around my dad more as I grew up. Mm-hmm. He listened to all of that, like the stylistic, awesome. Especially the sound of the Philadelphia Sound and, mm-hmm. yep. you know, Lenny Kravitz. And he was a very, mm-hmm. my dad was very influential to me as far as like listening to bands, whether mm-hmm. it was Mint Condition or Lenny Kravitz or
amazing
James Brown or whatever. So reggae, all that stuff. So, you know, I had a whole wide range of different people listening to different music.
That's amazing, man. So just sounds just like that overall eclecticness is just incredible. And that's, you know, it's very interesting because when you talked about your high school and upbringing, going to college and experiencing that, I definitely hear that because I experienced that as well. And I always thought it was interesting because whenever I heard that, you know, I'm sure, you know, let me know if you have the same thoughts before I go into some more questions. But like, I was like, why is everyone like coming at me for talking like liking rock music? Like black people, like people of color, like heavily influenced rock music. I don't know. Like, is anyone reading a book here? Or like watch what I, you know, I know I'm a self-admitted like music nerd, but like, I'm like, damn, like this is like, I thought this was common knowledge. Like Jimi Hendrix is,
Can I bring something really quick? I wanted to wear it, but it's just very warm right now. Mm-hmm. But can I just bring something really quick? It's gonna take like 5 seconds. Man. Hold on one second. That.
For sure.
I wanted to wear this shirt because we were gonna talk about this stuff, and yeah. I remember buying this at a show from a band here called Ill-Fated Natives. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're still playing music, but at the time they were playing at Bourbon and Branch, I think. And I they had this hood, this sweatshirt for sale. And I was like, I need that sweatshirt. And it says, rock is black culture. And it's like, we invented that shit. I don't know if I could curse, but like.
No, you can curse. Yeah, go off. Yeah, for sure. Yes. So, Jay, I never got it personally at the time. I was like, I knew about Jimi Hendrix's, and when I was learning how to play the guitar, there are plenty of black jazz guitarists from back in the day. Another a famous one, or one I guess I'm sure some guitar enthusiasts would like know of, but like I listened to a CD of a guy named Wes Montgomery who was like back in the 50s and stuff like that when I was younger, just to study and everything like that. And I was genuinely confused.
You're talking about like Little Richard, Chuck Berry, like Howlin' Wolf. Richard
created like Chuck Berry, like these are like the creators of rock and roll.
Like, so I have a theory. I have a theory about why we're at this point of even 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think black folks have that connotation of like, oh, that's white people music, because I think once white artists or whatever, I don't want to say stole, but whatever, right?
Yeah, it's
once they kind of pretty much try to take it from us, and they did, claiming mm-hmm. Elvis was the king and all that.
Right.
I feel like black artists, that's when we're like, you know what? Y'all can have that. We're going to invent something else. Mm-hmm. And they went to that. And then like, and that's why I feel like with hip hop and R&B, even R&B, those were the two genre of musics where I feel like white culture couldn't steal from us.
Right. I hear that.
So For I think as a culture, we were like, nah, we're not gonna listen to that. We're off that. That's old. Like that's, we already, whatever. We're on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And, but with that being said, I think it's time to reclaim that in a sense, because one thing that I really appreciate with Beyonce and her Renaissance run that she's having is she's reclaiming these genres of music that black people, Latino people, LGBTQ created.
Yep.
Because that is our shit. Mm-hmm. Like EDM house music, we started that shit. Underground, mm-hmm. like those parties in New, like Detroit, Chicago, New York, like we start that shit. Country music, don't get it twisted. Mm-hmm. Like there is country artists from 1920s, 1910s that started this shit.
Mm-hmm.
The theory is that her next album to complete the trilogy is going to be like a rock inspired. And I'm like, thank you, because first of all, I don't know. how you cannot feel something going to see a live band. Whether they're black, white, whatever, I don't care.
Yep.
Whether they're playing salsa, whether they're playing rock, whether they're playing jazz, blues, whatever. Like, just seeing a band and a collection of people creating a cohesive piece of art, I think it's the best feeling in the world.
It's amazing, and, man.
You know, so yeah, I don't know. That's just a theory, but I'm like, I think about them because I'll go to shows like Leon Bridges and Lenny Kravitz and Gary Clark Jr. And it's sold out. It's cool. And I'm, you know, it's great music, but like, I see like a lot of white folks. I'm like, are they the only ones that like this? Because Leon Bridges is one of the most underrated R&B artists today who's creating new music. He's incredible. Mm-hmm. Great sound. The whole album with Krongbin is amazing. Gary Clark Jr. is literally Stevie Ray Vaughan and Jimi Hendrix reincarnate and should be headlining as many festivals as possible. And Lenny Kravitz is Lenny Kravitz. Like, he's one of the last remaining, like, when you say rock gods, when you say rock stars, at his age, the way he looks and how he moves, and he does a 3-hour set with no breaks. And like, it doesn't make sense to me why there aren't a flock of like black culture, black people going to these shows, other than people that, like, you know, might have liked that. You know, I don't know. It's just weird to me. I look around, I'm like, this is so, especially in Philadelphia. I'm like this is such a rich history of all types of music. Like, it's so wild to me.
I hear you, man. And in a sense, you know, with everything you're saying, like, even though I understand based on the theory you broke down, that is a very, very solid and on point theory, by the way. You're not crazy. That there might be a lot of validity to that. I feel like it's also with blocking oneself to that mindset, it's a missed opportunity to be blessed with like the gift that is music. Cause I completely hear you, man. Like, I was wondering back in the day, I was like, why would one want to segregate music? I never quite got it. Like, and
like, you know, if you break down like all the things that, like, as black culture, what we love in music, a lot of these artists, like I say, like Lenny Kravitz, Gary Clark, Leon Bridges, like, they all could sing, you know, all of their band members could play their instruments, like, presence and likability and that it factor, they all have, you know, showmanship. Like, I'm just like, why? There's a lot of their songs have elements of gospel, R&B, hip hop, funk, which are all black genres. Like, I'm like, this doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense. Why? You know what I mean? Like you go to the Delphine, you'll go to the Dell and you see, like, you know, Fantasia, and like, all these artists are great, and like, these are black artists. I'm like, but yeah, but like, I feel like they have the same impact as all the artists I just mentioned and other artists too that I didn't mention. They're just in a different genre or whatever, but I'm still like, nah, we got to support. And that's why, like, Lenny Kravitz gets upset. Like, that's why he was upset that he don't get invited to BET Awards. Donald Glover, he's like, why do I have less than Sam Smith but more than Will Smith? Like, this doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? Like, and they're all valid points.
Dude, you know what? Let's unpack that a little bit. When Lenny Kravitz put that out, I was like, I know exactly what he's getting at. And then Living Color, shout out to Living Color, us wrestling fans, CM Punk, you know.
I mean, they're a great band. That man could sing. Like, what?
And Donald Glover, when he was mentioning that, it's like, come on, people, like, what are we doing here? I feel like it's kind of like no one hasn't quite spit it out yet. And that's why, you know, that's why I thank you for coming on this, because I'm trying to raise awareness about this. Like, and I love just like the enthusiasm of like, come on, y'all, like, what's going on here? this is our stuff. Like, what are we doing? Like, I hear you, man. But with that said, let's go back to when you were going through all that. When that was happening with you, coming from the rich and multifaceted background that you have and that you grew up with, which is awesome and amazing, and thank something you. That you should be proud of. I think it's incredible. I hear that and I'm like, that's amazing, man. Like, I already talked to you, but like, I want to know more, even more about you, man. That's so cool. I
appreciate it.
Did you have people that were like, kind of like, I don't want to say skeeved out, but just like, maybe they just didn't really, you know, did you feel isolated at times, or like, feel like weird at times, or how did you feel any type of way when that was happening when you were younger, as it was happening, if you can get back to that moment.
Yeah. So it was always just in the beginning. It was like, why are you listening to this? Like sometimes they didn't say it, they didn't like they're black. Like it was more like, but you could tell what they're trying to say. But I would just be like, oh, it just sounds interesting to me. I just want to hear more of it, genuinely. And after that conversation, for them, they're just ignorant to stereotypes and thinking one way or another or whatever. Because when you're not exposed to people other than the type of same type of people that look like you, then you're just going to assume certain things based on what you see on TV or how we're portrayed. That's why representation matters, right? So it all kind of connects. But once I actually explain, like, I'm just really genuine, so I like the way this song sounds, like, what's their story? Then they get excited, like, oh, well, you know, there's bands from this play, blah, 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 and they play with this, and they became, like, so then it kind of, like, the conversation, the narrative switches. But it's usually just in the beginning. I mean, it wasn't to the, luckily, I never felt like alone, because I didn't care if anybody thought one way or another. I know what I liked, and to this day, I still feel like I have great music taste, you know? Do I have guilty pleasures? Sure, but I don't feel guilty about them. If it brings you pleasure, you shouldn't feel guilty about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I just never really felt, I never really felt alone, or it was just more like, can we just get past this, bro? Like, what do you even, because then I'm asking him, like, what are you even saying right now? Because I'm black, I should just only listen to hip hop or R&B. I do. I love it. I have my favorite artists, but I also like this. Like, it's right. Such like a gang mentality to be like, oh, you only do this or that. You can't do both. And it's like, no, I'm going to do both. And there's probably going to be other people I like as well, like that you may not even heard of or you may not agree with. But it's just goofy to me.
Yeah, I hear that, man. I hear that. Oh, man, this is going to go well into
probably
the conversation here. Because
when it comes to music, man, forget about it, man.
I can go. So I just got to say this. I listen, you know, coming up, I listen like to all the oldies I mentioned, you know, obviously Michael Jackson. We didn't even, forgive me, everyone that hears this. I didn't even say Prince, for Christ's sake.
I literally have Prince on my wall. Yeah. I literally have him on my wall right now. Like,
one of the greatest guitarists right in multi, like that man, he could do funk, R&B, acoustic, could shred. If you listen to the Purple Rain album, I'm like, this dude is shredding, like metal shredding, like shredding as good and better as any. As any other,
I mean, if you want to know, if you want to know how good of a guitarist Prince was, just show him that clip at the Rock and Roll
Hall of Fame. Yep.
When he's literally on the stage with other legendary guitarists.
Yep.
And was the star of the show.
Yep.
Like, and he's the art, and he comes from the same cloth as like James Brown, Rick James, Lenny Kravitz, where they all wrote, produced, and played everything on their album.
Yep. Shout out to Rick James too. Another one, man. See, we're just going through.
People names. Don't understand how dope Rick James was. I had to do a deep dive. Like, like I knew Rick James. I knew his songs, but like, I'm gonna be honest. Right around the time when the whole Chappelle stuff came out, I was like,
yeah.
And but like, it wasn't a conversation until that came up. So like, my dad was like, no, you need to really do your research on Rick James. He was that dude. Yeah. And when it came to touring and live shows at that time in black music, like. He was the one after Parliament, like after, like James Brown was still touring, but it was like, you know, kind of a passing of the guard. He was that guy.
Yep.
Like, you got to go see Rick James. You know what I mean?
Yep. Definitely, man. And, you know,
And Prince would open for Rick James when he first started. So imagine that tour when you got Prince opening this young 19-year-old, 20-year-old phenom who's 5'6", 5'10", in heels.
Yep.
Prancing around in the most dainty shit. Putting on a show.
Yep, absolute show. I never saw him live.
And then after that, you got Rick James. Like, come on.
I know.
Man.
It's crazy. And it's interesting. I was with Prince, and then, you know, when I was a kid, I was told I like Kool Moe Dee on Wild Wild West when I was a baby. I heard I was saying that, and like obviously MC Hammer when I was like really young and stuff.
A lot
like
of stuff was on MTV.
Yeah. And you mentioned, actually, it's just cool. It's really cool. A lot of people today, I know streaming has made things fragmented, but I'm like, back in VH1, BET, and MTV, when they showed videos, like, you can go on a deep dive about a lot of stuff. It's not like it was caveman era here.
That was my church. That was our babysitter.
Artists, Yeah, they played artists that no one would even like. I probably have to go into a deep dive, like, to even get to some of these people I saw with music videos and stuff like that. There were indie mags, there were all types of stuff and everything like that. And like, for me, what kind of opened my, like, I never had any like true, never, you know, I was like, oh, you know, like rock music is cool. I never really got into it until this moment. Like, it like blew my teenage mind, actually, maybe because of what I was going through at the time, being an angsty teenager, I don't know. But you know, when I watched MTV and I saw Papa Roach's Last Resort, for me, that blew my, it just blew, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, everything was just like, kind of, I just remembered, it's like, it was just like, like, I'm like, this dude, like, this guitar, dude is rapping his ass off and he sounds good. Like, I wasn't even thinking like it was a white, I was like, yo, this is awesome. Yeah. Like, hearing the rap and the, I'm like hip hop merging with the rock music and the instrumentation. I'm like, this is crazy. And the lyrics and seeing the, seeing the black people in the music video, like, I was just like, whoa, this is, I bought the album at the time. And for me, that really it was kind of like my gateway. That's when I started listening to, you know, like, okay. So when my friend mentions Black Sabbath, let me go into that. Oh, okay. Rage Against the Machine, all those bands, Linkin Park. And obviously, with us being wrestling fans, and then we're talking like back in those times with Rock vs. Austin, Limp Bizkit, My Way or the Highway, like My Way,
best
like,
wrestling promo of all time.
Best wrestling promo of all time.
It's not even close. There's no debate. It's highly regarded. It's not even close. Yeah,
exactly. Not even a debate. So like for me, like I had always listened to like different types of music, but like that, I was really keen on like. I was in a listen to the stuff that my parents would play, especially my mom, and then you know pop, and you know my sister being a massive like you know big in the pop like Spice Girls and mm-hmm. you know Britney and like and I'm sorry NSYNC, Bashy Boys, like all that, and then, you know I love Whitney and obviously the GOAT mm-hmm. Michael Jackson, Prince, stuff like that, and like getting into I know it's taboo these days, but getting into Puff Daddy and the Family back in the day, and Biggie, Tupac, all that. It was seeing all that, but Papa Roach opened the door for me, and ever since that moment, I've just wanted to listen to everything I possibly could, because I'm like that. That's just for me like what it was, and like just hearing you talk about all those legendary bands and everything like that, man. Like I know exactly where you're coming from, and I from that moment I just like love seeing all types of. You know, bands play, and even through that, like, you know, George Benson, like mm-hmm. To this day, I went to a show with George Benson and India RE that to this day, wow. I think it was like 2004 or something like that. It was one of the best. It's still in probably my top five concerts I've ever been to.
Wow.
And that man, George Benson, like scatting while playing the guitar, like it was nothing. Like,
wow.
It was one of the best shows I've ever seen. And it's just that appreciation for just all music, man. And
yeah,
I think for me, like, I'm sure as you mentioned, like, I was like, really? Like, why would anyone want to like limit themselves? But it really kind of like not broke my heart, but really like frustrated me at the time. Like, I'm like, why? It was just something else to me. It was just like have one's like background and I guess so blackness being called out for that. And I'm
well,
like,
I think a lot of that. When people are criticizing or expecting you to like certain things, it's more on them. It's their insecurities, because it's the same reason why everyone dresses the same or they listen to the same music. They're afraid to try different things. It's a comfort thing. They don't want to get outside the comfort zone. But it's also like they don't want to get clowned by their friends if they're like interested in something else. And you know how I know there's other cultures too, but I know in the black culture is like we'll clown you for anything. Like, it's raining outside, you got an umbrella. Like, oh, look at this guy with an umbrella. Like, it's that, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's just what we do, right? So it sticks with you. So you're just like, I don't want to do anything that puts me outside of the norm where I could get ridiculed. So I'm just going to listen to everything, what everyone is just do. But like, I know for a fact, even to the, like, you can ask anybody, they all have certain types of songs, music artists, that they like, that they probably are like still like on the low, like low key about it.
Like,
but when it comes on, like at a karaoke party or at a bar or something,
be the first one. Like,
yes, And I'm just like, yo, like, if you love it, who cares, bro? Right. It's music. Right. Who cares? Right. Like I'm not a Taylor Swift fan in that sense at all. I don't get her. I don't get it. But I'm not gonna fault anyone else who likes it. I'll ask. I'm like, what? I'll ask because I'm genuinely just like, what is it about her music that like y'all like are so obsessed about?
Right.
And then what they say to me, I'm just like, I mean, I guess, all right, cool, rock out, whatever. I'm not gonna be like,
right,
no, that's crazy. You're crazy. Like that's your shit. Whatever. I know I'm not. Like, it's not on my playlist. Whatever. Right. But right. I get it. And there's gonna be artists that people like are they're gonna be like, why you like this person? I'm like, well, blah blah blah. I mean, I doubt it, but that's just me and my ego. But it's like what you like, man. Who cares? Like, who actually really cares?
I love it, man. And love your overall just love your attitude and enthusiasm about that. So when you go as a live music goer, when you go to concerts and go to these spaces and stuff like that, mm-hmm. has there been times where you have faced some microaggressions or straight up, let's just be honest, like straight up racism for being one of the only, you know, people of color in the area just enjoying the music? Has there been any case like that, or have any friends like that, or what are your thoughts upon that?
I mean, maybe I was too oblivious to it, but I mean, I do get looks like.
But you just mind your business and you're enjoying what you're
doing? Yeah, I'm minding my business, or they're like double take or whatever, but like, I'm not here to see them.
Right.
You're not here to see me. We're here to see that.
Yep.
Enjoy the show.
I love it. I love it, man.
Like, I'm not going to, like, if I go to a band or if I go to an artist where I may not know all of their songs or their catalog or their history, I just want to go because, like, oh, it'd be a fun show to go. I know a couple of their songs. I'm not going to, you know, be all full on, like, you know, whatever, be a poser or anything. But like, for someone, like, but other people be like, name three albums that's not the blah, blah, blah album of the year. I'm like, why are we doing this? Like, I'm going to tell you, like, I'm a casual fan. I just wanted to check them out live. I've never heard them live.
Right.
Like, that's right. All I'm here for. Like, is mm-hmm. there, why are you asking a trivia question at a rock show? Like, did you buy these tickets? Like, did you buy my ticket? Right. I'm here just like you. Like, I may not be the biggest fan, but like, I just love music. I want to see this team, this band, this artist live. I know some of their songs. That's literally it. That's my hobby.
Learn more. That's why you're seeing
them. Yeah. I want to see, because maybe I become a bigger fan if I see them live. That, like, right. For instance, I'll give you a quick example. One of my friends, she was in town, and what her favorite band, I think still to this day, is One Republic. And I knew their songs, like, you know, their big hits. Mm-hmm. And then at the show, I said, oh, yeah, I'll go to the show. It sounds like fun, cool. They got a new album out. Their new album was Native at the time, so like,
nice,
like Counting Stars, that whole album.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Tedder's a huge songwriter, dude.
Don't even get me started on Ryan Tedder. He's one of the greatest of all time. So mm-hmm.
Huge.
So I'm watching the show, and you know, this is, they're like what, like at just 10 years in, right? And you could just tell they're pros, like the way they start the show, how they like the reveal of the band. Like, I'm already sucked in. I'm like, okay, I'm a fan. And realizing how many songs I actually know from them, and then hearing the band live, and then hearing him sing live, and then realizing all the songs that he's written for other people who are big artists, I'm like, all right, I get it. I'm in. I've already seen that band like 3 times. Like, every time they're on tour, I try to go see them. You know what I mean? That's just an example. But it's like, you just never know. And for me, again, this is a hobby of mine. Like, I don't really have, like, I don't go rock climbing or hiking. For me, I go to shows. Like, I'll go to a show at Johnny Brenda's, which is like a small dive bar. I'll go to the Fillmore. I'll go to an open mic session. I'll go to Wells Fargo. Like, I don't care. I just want to see an experience. Or for me, I actually like coming across artists that I haven't heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a discovery to me, you know?
Yeah, I feel that, man. I was actually just at the Fire to see someone I worked on a song with and her band. Shout out to Carly.
Next time you're at the Fire, like, I live literally 2 blocks down from.
Oh, nice, man.
There we go.
Yeah. I saw her band perform, and it was just so cool to, you know, see them rock out. I love seeing local acts, man, and people just going through the grind and putting their art out there. I love it. It's just nothing like it. There's just like that that I know the feeling of being on stage with the past band. It's there's nothing there. I past band I was a part of. There is nothing like it, man. It is. It's really cool. And just seeing other people do that, it is. It's a very immersive and exciting experience, man. Just to even just because you might discover something you didn't even really know, or just like someone might play something different. It's like, oh, that's cool. Or like even covers, even some like, yeah. Oh, that's a really cool, like that could be like a really cool cover that you didn't think that band would put that type of spin on it.
Right.
Like, and, you know, it's definitely something to, you know, something to behold, the live music experience. So. That is incredible. And I love how you like kind of navigate that, because it's just like, I'm just going to enjoy. I feel like your whole vibe is like, I'm just going to enjoy myself. And mm-hmm. and this is what I like. And, you know, why are you going to act like that?
Because they'll ask me a question and I'll ask them a question to be like, to make them realize that how stupid they sound without me saying it.
Right.
And then,
right.
and then they kind of like take it back. Like, no, I'm just playing, man. Like, enjoy the show. Like, but you know, they're like, why am I asking this? You know what I mean? Like, that right. was a genuine answer from a genuine dude who's genuinely here to enjoy the show. Like,
right.
I need to change the way I, you know what I mean? Like,
right, right.
That's on y'all. Like I know.
Like, I know the wrong with me. Why are you asking? Right. That? What's your problem? Like, right. I love it. I love it, man. That is an amazing mindset. And just way of being, man. And with the music, you know, go out into the live music space. With what you do as with your profession and you being an influencer, and one of the, you know, you've been doing the damn thing for a bit as one of the premier influencers in one of the premier cities in the country, man. And I just want to let you know once again that when I met you, like you just focus on the grind and just do your thing. And it's not easy to do. And you're doing it. And
I appreciate
it's great, man. So just giving your flowers.
Thank
with
you, man.
That. How has that been with you and the Water Ice team? Has there been any times where you've had interesting kind of like, you know, you being a person of color, seen interesting things while you've done your profession, been around the city and doing all these things to do? Has there been any instances that you'd be willing to talk about that have occurred or not? Maybe not.
It's always interesting to see when people realize the faces behind the Water Ice account.
Really? Okay.
So yeah. So for those who don't know, waterice.com, it started off as a blog. We're essentially an independent media company here in Philadelphia. And, you know, for the last 10 years, we've been putting a spotlight on small businesses, local businesses, events, movers and shakers in the city, things to look out for, restaurants, experiences, all that stuff. And through the years, you know, we've done video content since the beginning. And but when we started to really pop off as far as engagement and following, it was more so on Instagram. So you're really just seeing posts. So there, you didn't really realize who are the faces behind the team. And so when we did, like when we would vend at, you know, like festivals or block parties or whatever, we would have a vending table with our merch and whatever, just like anything, like any other vendor. And it's always funny because you'll see people with their phone and they look at our banner and they look at the phone and then like, and I go up to them like, hey, y'all got any questions about, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, are y'all Water Ice? I'm like, yeah, this is, you know, we're Water Ice. They're like, oh my God, I've been following y'all for blah, blah, blah. And I never seen the faces behind it, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, our faces are definitely in post, but you know, whatever.
Right, right.
But it's, and maybe it's just me. And sometimes I feel like people think there's like white people behind the account. And I don't know why, and I could be wrong, whatever, but I feel like I'm not. But with the Water Ice team, we're all people of color. We stopped saying minority because there's nothing minor about us. Like mm-hmm. we're like the founder, Hector, he's Puerto Rican and Dominican. Myself, I'm Mexican and African American. Lauren is African-American from Philly, and Farah, who's a part of the team as well, Water Ice, she's El Salvadoran and Egyptian. And it was interesting when people started to realize, like, oh, y'all are Water Ice. And it's like, yeah. And I don't know, and maybe that's just me, but I don't think I'm off, but there'd be times when even in, like, I'll give you an instance. I'm kind of rambling, but I'll give you an instance.
Could it be like corporate? Could it be like when you meet like a partner or like meeting like corporate setting or like some type of, maybe not corporate, but like when you're networking or like something like that, or like you just kind of, before you go on, I just like want to say, like, being a person of color or like being, you know, Black in America in general, or being a person of color in America in general, you can kind of like sniff some things out, which is, I think, yeah, you kind of get the vibe. You can definitely like feel like it's like,
well, because my thing was like, because like when I asked, like, oh, I wasn't expecting, like, I'm more so not trying to like get at them, but I'm more like, well, who are you expecting that was behind it? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Just to kind of, you know what I mean? So like, yeah, it's going. I'm not trying to call them out, but in a way I am, right. because I'm more interested to think like, who did you think it was behind it? Like,
right.
You know, especially in the way we post and how we post, it's definitely in our own words. We get press releases a lot, and some people just, you know, copy paste and whatever. We try to put a little flair, but we try to put it in our language so that it seems more organic and it seems less like a press release, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's always interesting to be like, I'll say this, like 7 times out of 10, 8 times out of 10, they're more excited just to meet the people behind it without like, oh, I'm thinking it was like this. It was more like, oh my God, I've never seen whoever's behind it. I love y'all pages. It's mainly love. Once in a while, you kind of get like the, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But like, there's been times where, I'll give you one example. Actually, full circle, the last election, the debate when Trump had said, when President Trump at the time said, bad things happened in Philly. And we were on it, like, we were like, yo, we need to make a shirt. We need to put it out right now. And we did.
Yeah,
and it went viral.
Yep.
And there was someone in the comments that was like, well, I hope that you're giving money back to the, you know, Black organizations and community, making money, blah, 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 blah. And normally we don't respond to comments, but that one, I was like, yo, heck, let the clip go. Like, he was like, I'm already on it. And we had to like kind of show and tell people in those comments, like, we're one of the only platforms in the city that's giving people of color a platform for whatever they're doing. Exactly. And we were at the time. It was one of, a very, very few, whether it was our podcast, our interviews, our posts, restaurant, whatever. And it's funny because like a lot of the people that we've had, our past guests that have been on our podcast or any of the podcasts that were affiliated with us, are doing amazing things. So that means we had our finger on the pulse. So we were on the right track of what we were doing. And we were always kind of just like very, nah, like people are going to see. But now after that, we were like, nah, we need to let people know, wait, we've been doing this. And we have the receipts. If you go to our YouTube, we have every single piece of video content we've ever done in the 10 years of Waterize existence on our YouTube page. So you go check. We put a lot of people, I don't want to say we put a lot of people on, but we at least gave them a platform to speak their mind and to show what they're doing.
That's amazing, man. That's very, very interesting. And thanks for kind of unpacking that. Cause I, you know, I'm not surprised, but I'll tell you right now, like when I saw on my wrestling account that you liked one of our posts, I like freaked out. I was like, I would have never told you that, but I was like, oh shit, yo,
nah.
You liked our post. Jane and gentlemen liked our, so like,
I'll keep it a buck. I probably liked it because I saw, I was like, oh, there's other Black folks that like have a podcast and they like wrestling. I just didn't see that, even like that wasn't that long ago. It was only a couple years ago. You know,
right.
But again, it's one of those things you're like, I was oblivious to, because I'm like, I know, like me and my, I talk about my boy Alan to you about all the time. Right. Shout out to my boy Alan. It's like, we can't be the only ones. Like, I know there's a whole community. We just gotta find them. And it was like really cool to meet up. And you know, I did your show a couple years ago, and we've been able to work together, and like the whole meaning thing was awesome. And you know, going to Raw, and like everything's been great. But yeah, no, I appreciate that. No, and it was like, for me, I'm always trying to just find my community in the things that I like, you know?
And, you know, with talking about all this and hearing your enthusiasm, I can just tell, like, you're very, it's a great outlook to have and how positive you are in regards to, you know, such a layered topic such as this. You know, it just makes me think, and not to sound cliche, like, doesn't it, you know, I'm like, I want to preface this by saying there's a lot of, you know, whenever I hear like, oh, like, you know, black people are da-da-da-da against each other. And I was like, whoa, scratch that for a second. There's plenty of black people that support each other. They're like,
oh, yeah.
Like, more, that's a myth. Like, there's plenty of united black people trying to better their communities, trying to make change, trying to help, trying to uproot.
The problem is the minority people that aren't supporting, they're just the loudest ones.
That is true.
And I think that's where the ones that we're supporting, like the people that support each other, I think we got to get better at that, at being louder at our support. And there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it without it being like, look at us, show, like just for the gram, right, as opposed to like, no, like, guys, there is a community for everyone. If you like anime, if you like wrestling, if you like comic books, whatever, like there is. Right. And we all should just, you know, uplift each other.
I love it, man. And that's, you kind of answered what I was going to ask next. I was just like, it's amazing what we all could do if we were like truly, truly together, mm-hmm, like truly, like truly, like, you know, lift each other up. There's something that I, it just got me thinking with what you were saying to that. Like, you know, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say I could speak on Philadelphia. Like there are, mm-hmm, you could, in any arena of art, there are pockets of community. There's pockets of that community throughout the city. The big task that we have to do is let's get everyone together.
Right.
And like, let's really enjoy it.
Right.
It is a thing. Like Afropunk, the festival in New York, mm-hmm, like that's a great example of like bringing
always
together.
To go. I've never been,
you know, and that's on, that's on a bucket. That's a bucket list for me as well. Like, yeah, you know, you'll see people that kind of stay in their community, or you'll see a few people that kind of bounce around and it's like, oh, you should meet my friend who's also that. And it's like one of those things, but it's like, all right, guys, let's all come together. Like we all like the same thing, you know, and let's do something from that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. And you know, it's, man, just talking about this, it's like, you know, we definitely as a people and just in general, and this goes to people outside that community too, because like, you know, just understanding and being empathetic to different communities and being, you know, our fellow neighbor, right, mm-hmm, and supporters of us, like we're not a monolith, like there's mm-hmm, there's different stories. Like your story is beautiful, bro. Your story is beautiful. It is awesome. I'm so happy I have the pleasure of having talking about this on this platform. So I just love, I mean, and also I used to be a writer, journalist, just love hearing stories about different people and everything like that. And like, you know, it's just, there's different types of pathways, different types of experiences and different types of like mindsets and everything like that. And I genuinely like, you know, I think it's just something that's a source of strength, not being weird or corny. And I'm just like, whenever I hear that in, you know, when I see that in media or like, or people with platforms putting that, like, you know, look, like example, like when someone has a different opinion, look, I get it. And how someone can have a very different opinion that makes you be like, how, like, why would you say that? And all that stuff. I get it. But like, does that also mean that we have to tell them they're not black too? That's something that, like, for me personally, I'm like, oh, I completely disagree with what you're saying. And I think you're an idiot, but I'm not going to say you're not black. I never really get that. And I don't get why other people like maybe do that. So like, I guess you know, in doing this cast, like, I just like wonder, like, you know, and you've already brought up some great points, like on the music tip about like why that might like come up. And it's interesting because it's like, and you let me know if you have thoughts on this. It's like that walking it, not walking a tightrope, but like kind of like being like in, like stuck between a rock and a hard place at times. Because like you may face these situations where like it's like, oh, you know, why do you do that? Like that's not a part of blackness. And I'm just mocking the, I'm just mm-hmm. being facetious here. Like, but also like truly experiencing what it's like to be Black in America, like, you know, oh, you N-word, or like, oh, like you, you know, whatever, you know, to the Mexican side slurs with that, whatever you may face being, being biracial with that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's just like, it's a very interesting kind of like, you know, way of like being and everything like that. I'm like, why can't someone just be proud of who they are and their background, but also be kind of open to other cultures? Like, why is that? Why, or like open to yeah. to other experiences? Like, why? Like, maybe because we've had, like, I grew up in the burbs of Philadelphia, so it wasn't strange to me to see some things, maybe for some people who didn't have that. But you know, and you being from where you're from and your upbringing, it wasn't, you know, maybe for you, it wasn't crazy to see, you know, some things when you're in, and maybe that plays a part in it, but like, I guess I always try to see the best in people and try to, as you kind of hinted at, just like kind of just be like, you know, we're in this together. Like I you know, we know we face what it's like to be people of color in this country that was built on the very foundation of our hardships.
Like, yeah.
All yeah. the time. So
I think, I mean, it kind of goes back to that dismissive nature of insecurity within that person. And they're trying to, you know, deflect it onto you. Right. And if you're someone who's comfortable in your skin, it's not gonna let it bother you. And it may take some time for some people. I know for me, when it came specifically for music, I didn't care. Like because I knew what I was listening to was good stuff. Like,
right.
I know all, you know, these albums, they're selling 10 million. 10 million people are wrong. You know what I mean? Like, yep. Yep. You know what I mean? And even if it's not your tip, like even if I have a different opinion, like, oh, you know what, I don't agree, but that's cool, that's your thing, that's like, who the fuck am I,
right,
to question your blackness, your taste in music, your taste in whatever, if that's what you like,
right? Yeah, man.
To me, it's goofy, silly, dismissive behavior. Like, grow up,
right.
Literally, right. Like, that's, I mean, I don't want to oversimplify it, but because there's yeah. always layers and there's always different things yeah. you could dive deeper into it, but it's like, you Come that's down. that's the hill you want to die on is
yeah
why I like certain things that you may not like. Goofy, it's goofy, and
yeah, like that's corny, right?
and that's one of the things I really, really love about the younger generation. Is that because they've been they grew up in the streaming era, the YouTube era, you know, listening and being exposed to things and even cancel culture in a sense where it's like, well, if you're bullying me, then you're gonna get like even that I could kind of be like, I could get behind it because like it is goofy for you to be on some bullshit if I like someone.
Yeah.
But with that being said, like I feel like our generation and younger were the ones that was like, no, it's okay to like things that are outside of your culture. Like if you like anime, if you like heavy metal, because if you look on the flip side, all of our stuff have influenced other cultures
all over the place. That's
all over the world. Exactly. Like, exactly, what do you think? Man. What do you think K-pop is? The essence of K-pop. Yep. If you listen to the music, if you get just down to, if you take the stems out, the music is hip hop music.
Change the world, man.
The choreography is hip hop. Like, what are we talking about?
Right. And that's something, you know, it's interesting. Like, since you mentioned the amazing genre of hip hop, like, it's changed everything. It is, it can be. I actually said this to my discussion with a friend about this. To me, hip hop is so incredible because it can literally be merged with any genre. You can put it with classical, you can put it with country, you can put it with rock, you can put it with metal, you can put it with jazz. You can literally put it with anything. And you can, you know, you can tell stories, you can have great lyricism, you can, you know, like Black Thought to me, like of the roots is like an artiste, like with his wordplay. It is like, you hear it, I'm like, what? and hearing, I mean, shit, that's another band, like hear it, seeing them and like their instrumentation and them between game changers and, you know, in the genre and just the culture in general, like, you know, it's just amazing how Black music has influenced everything. And I'm like, damn, can y'all like, can, and I felt like, not to interrupt you, just want to finish this. Like, it's like, when I heard stuff, I'm like, I'm like, damn, y'all, like, am I missing something? Like, don't, I thought this was common knowledge to people. I thought this is known. So,
I mean, and it's a flip it. Like, I'm not going to sit here and act like Asian influence didn't, like, you know what I mean? Like, Wu-Tang Clan.
Exactly.
Arguably the greatest hip hop group of all time. Yep. It's literally named after a Chinese martial art. Like, so it's not that far fetched for us to like
exactly.
Bruce Lee in the black culture, karate movies in the black culture.
In the 70s, 60s, 70s, all day. Huge,
it's not far fetched for us to like anime.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing.
See what's going on now, man? It's so crazy. Like, it's like we all like, yes, there are differences. Yes. You better see that we're people of color. See it. See it and accept it and empathize, like all that stuff. But as what we're talking about, you can see like the it's like the circle and the different connections, like with you mentioning the anime and the Asian.
The Venn diagram.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly, man. Exactly. It's like, you know, there's differences and, you know, take note of those differences, but there's a lot of stuff that we all like more than we think that connects
us.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Nigo, one of the top stylists, designers of all time, as far as streetwear, Japanese, doesn't really speak really good English, but is arguably one of the greatest streetwear designers of all time. He made Baiting Ape, and he helped with Billionaire Boys Club and a bunch of other collaborations that go on and on and on. Like, he comes from hip hop. Like, he was inspired by hip hop growing up, and his whole life is inspired by hip hop. Like, why are we acting like this is a weird thing or weird, like there's no connection? It connects everything.
Right, man. Dude, like, this has been an amazing conversation. I have to ask more music questions.
This is what I'm here for, man.
All right. So, who are some name your top five favorite bands? Favorite, not best. Favorite band,
like of all time or right now?
That's a good question. Damn. All right. Both.
I'll do right now.
Okay, start off with right now.
Every year, my Spotify year in, it's number one, Jungle.
Okay.
Jungle. I see them live every time. I try to see them live every time they come to Philly or whenever. I like when people ask like what kind of music they make, I'm like, it's genreless. They play they're just a cool ass band. If you haven't heard of Jungle, I think you should look into them.
They had
a really big year because a couple of their songs were really big on TikTok.
Okay.
This year, and they had a couple songs on some commercials as well from their last album, their last two albums, Jungle.
Awesome. Okay.
All right. So you said five, right?
Yep.
All right. So we'll do five a favor right now. I'll put Empire of the Sun, even though, they just came out with a new album, Empire of the Sun. Ban. I'll just strictly do Ban. I do like
You can do artists too. I'm sorry. You can do solo artists too if it helps. Yep. You can do that. That's fine.
I know. Yeah. Okay. Man, I hate to get on the bandwagon, but
that's fine, man.
I am thoroughly impressed with the recent success of Chappell Roan.
Oh, what? She's great.
I stumbled upon her listening, because sometimes when I work, I'll just have YouTube,
right?
Just play like music, and in the mix of the algorithm, they'll throw in some Tiny Desks, and hers came on. But I was working, and she's just going off, and I'm like, who is that? And I see this, like, I thought it was a drag. I thought it was drag. I was like, right. Yo, who is this? And then from there, I just did a deep dive, and I wasn't too late because. And then I went into her story. I could go on and on, but I'm just there. And then, like, the crowd for her at Lollapalooza
must have been nuts, man.
It made me tear because you just know what she went through. She was already signed. Pandemic happened. She wasn't making the music she wanted to. She went back home, started doing the shit that she wanted to do. It caught on. And from a year ago to now, like, I'm just like, that is crazy. But it wasn't like an overnight. This was years in the making, which people really... If you're an artist, up and comer, it takes 10 years to be an overnight success.
Yep.
There is no, and the ones that get hot really quick, you won't see them 2 years from now.
Exactly.
Guaranteed. And it is tried and true. The longevity is not going to be there.
Yep.
So I'll say them, them two, three. I'll also throw in Parcels. They're really cool. They just came out with some new music. I know I'm missing some people, but I will say I will throw in one person that I just stumbled upon this past week. Rock music. This guy, have you heard of Leon Knight?
No, but I'll take a listen. Leon Knight.
Holy shit. JB.
Uh-oh.
First of all,
he
looks like Rick James.
Oh wow, okay.
His band is that throwback like 70s, 80s.
Oh, I love it.
Like when in the like CBGB, like aura.
That era. Yes. That aura, that era, everything. Oh man.
I was scrolling and I'm like, whoa, what am I? Whoa. Why am I late to this party? What the actual fuck? Leon Knight. A knight like a knight in shining armor. Yeah, Leon Knight.
Right.
Okay. Holy cow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet man.
Awesome. Yeah, those are five right now. I know I'm missing people. I mean, another band, Cannons.
Cannons, okay.
Yeah. They're like a very kind of like vibey, what's that, stargazy kind of, but they play it like she did this cover, this band did this cover of Footsteps in the Dark, Isley Brothers.
Mm-hmm. That is sick, man. Okay.
It's a vibe. So look, yeah, Cannon. So I'll say off the rip, those people.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
All time,
I mean, it's like I'll put Foo Fighters in there. I'll put Lenny Kravitz. I'll put Incubus in there.
Whoa! Shout out to an Incubus draw. That's awesome. I haven't met many other Incubus fans outside of
I think they're
high school with. That's awesome.
I've seen. I don't know. I guess the time I grew up, they were. That's when they were like peak. Like they peaked.
Kind of underrated. I feel now, man.
Highly underrated. Brandon Boyd can sing his ass off. His band, the drummer. What's the name? Oh man, the drummer. Like
one of my favorite albums from them is Science, dude. I love it. Incubus is awesome, man.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
I said Lenny Kravitz. I know I'm missing some people. Oh, duh. Black Pumas.
Nice.
Holy cow. I saw them live this year.
Oh, that must have been amazing. They looked amazing live. That's what I need to get.
Hit. You talk about a band and command and the background. Any band with a great vocal background singers, I'm in. Let's go.
Nice.
Yeah. I know I'm missing. I know I didn't even think about it, but those obviously.
It's fine. I just threw it out there. So that's all good, man. Just a nice multifaceted list of bands, and there's a bunch I didn't hear of that I'm going to check out.
I recently went to Milk Boy. Shout out to Milk Boy. A couple months ago, and I came across this one vocalist. Her name's Kels. She's from Atlanta.
Okay.
I feel like I hate comparisons, but it's good. I think it's good just to help people understand what they sound like. She reminds me a lot of Amy Winehouse, man.
Okay. I mean, that's a big, that's some,
she does a cover of Valerie.
Okay.
But yeah. Yeah.
I remember when Amy Winehouse was popping off, man, everyone was listening to her. That's some big praise right there. So I'll definitely have to.
She gave me that vibe. She definitely gave me that. And I'm not the only one. Like my friend who put me on, she's like, she kind of reminds me of Amy Fine. I was like, yeah, you hit that. It's kind of eerie.
Okay. Wow. All right.
That's my favorite. I'm sorry. Okay. So speaking of Milk Boy, we had the luxury and the amazingness, the opportunity to co-host their 30th anniversary block party on South Street. So for those that do not know, Milk Boy Studios has been around for 30 years as a studio, a music recording studio, and they've been a part of some of the biggest projects in music from some of the biggest artists in music. Like literally, I'm talking about like Chris Brown, Usher, Justin Timberlake, Kelly Clarkson, Jasmine Sullivan, maybe even Jennifer Hudson, The Roots, Lil Uzi.
A lot of people, man. Yeah.
No. They have a couple venues. The one restaurant on South Street, they do their block parties, and we were able to do their end of summer, which was also their 30th anniversary, which was also our 10-year anniversary. And we were able to help curate the lineup. It was literally a mix of different stuff. We had hip hop, R&B, funk, indie rock, singer songwriter, R&B, like folk. It was incredible, JB. And mind you, like, I'm gonna tell you, every single artist hit. They were amazing, and I would say 80%. More than half of them I hadn't heard yet, but I was really excited, right? There was this one artist, to me, I was just like, holy cow, her likability, her state, her Suge Daniels. For if you want to listen to some really good stuff, her live, how she was with the crowd, her likability, how she was on the mic in between songs, you would have thought she was doing this for 30 years. Like, wow. It was pro level crowd control. And her music was right. And her music was, it was incredible. I was like, whoa, I was blown away.
Wow, that's amazing, man.
I could talk about like artists that I've been around or who I just discovered or who I just came across, and that's a whole other time. But yeah, I just had to give the shout out to that.
Oh man, well, I mean, no man, that's amazing. And I missed that block party, of course. And
don't worry. listen, don't worry. We're planning another one in the spring. So
awesome.
We're gonna be their official partners for their block party. So you're not
definitely
there. Yeah.
Doing big, amazing things, man. So with all that said, is there anything that you would like to stay or end with this discussion? Anything?
Are we wrapping up already?
Yeah, well, we're getting there. We can.
No, it's not good. I'm messing with you. Every time I'm with you or the fellas,
5 hours.
Yeah, literally, like it always flies.
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry. What did you ask me? If there's anything?
I'm just asking, like, if there's anything else that you would like to bring up that I didn't touch on or anything that you were thinking about that you wanted to talk about. And aside from that, you know, what can everyone be expecting from you and the Water Ice crew coming up, especially heading into it's going to be 2025 soon.
Yeah.
Crazy.
No, so I'll start with the stuff for Water Ice. I mean, if you haven't followed us, I would recommend just following us on Instagram. It's at Water Ice. So WOODER_ICE. Especially if you're in Philadelphia, mainly if you're in the Philadelphia area, if you want to know what's going on in the city, especially right now, because you know, fall and holiday events are getting activated as we speak. So if you're looking to think for things to do for the family, couple, friends night out, whatever, new restaurants, all that stuff, new content we're putting out, just follow us. That'd be the best bet. For those who curate events, if you want to submit your event to our calendar, you could just go to waterice.com and you'll see a tab that says submit event. And it's very easy, upload it, boom, right? And we normally, anytime we get submissions, we'll put it on our Instagram story, just so people are aware. And if you have events, just send it over to info@waterice.com as like a press release. And just look out for that. In 2025, we got some things cooking. I can't really say because it's kind of like still in the works. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but a lot of things in the works is really, really looking great. We had a great year celebrating our 10 years, and we're just really looking forward to the next 10. And so, yeah, just if you follow us, you'll follow our journey, and you'll be you'll also have the finger on the pulse of what's going on in the city. And amazing, the last thing I'll say, like just with the whole conversation we had, is like the only way we could come together and grow as people is if you're get rid of that dismissive mentality of something that you don't agree with or you may not more specifically in like hobbies and music and things like that. I think if you keep an open mind to different things that may come to you, whether it's through a friend or whatever, I think as a person you tend to grow as a person to be more accepting, to be more open to different dialogues and different things that you may not have been lucky enough to experience or had the opportunity to come across. And I think, you know, and I'm not a parent, I know, but I think just for me, I knew growing up, I was very lucky to have support in things that I was interested in. And if your child is interested in those things, let them hone into it, or support them. Because it may not be what you think they should be doing, but if it's something they really enjoy, then that's going to carry on into life, into like just trying new things and just expanding as a person. And I think it starts when you're a kid. A lot of that stuff starts with nurture, you know. Again, I'm not a parent. I have no kids. I am a great uncle, and I've seen it. So it's like let them lean into the interest, and you never know what might happen from that. But yeah, just, you know, mind your business. Listen to what you want to listen to. Enjoy the things you want to enjoy. And you know, don't let anybody like dim your light. You like it for a reason. It makes you feel good, it makes you happy. You're not harming anybody.
There you go. I love it, man. I love it, man. Well, actually I have kind of a twist here because I just thought of something else. Bonus.
What's up?
Yeah, I said we keep talking. I'm like, man, okay. So, Dub, it's election. It's election time, man. Let me just ask you this question: What does Kamala Harris mean? You know, in the overall scope of everything, what do you think she means to, you know, the potential of this country and this election in general?
I think first and foremost, representation. And it's interesting because not only is she a woman, obviously she's a person of color that is a woman, and it's one of those things where it's like America's so stuck in its ways, and for me, I'm like, well, let's try it. You got other countries that have been had female in leadership roles, and
I said the same thing today.
Are thriving, and you know, like they're thriving. They're killing it, and it's like, it's kind of goofy to be like, oh, I can never have a woman be in charge. It's like, a woman runs your life. What are you talking about? Like mm-hmm. already, and has mm-hmm. been, you know. So I'm just like, I think it means a lot, and it means, and not just for that, but I think it's just when you have an opportunity. And look, I don't really talk politics because like. I don't want to say I'm ignorant to this stuff, but I'm also not an expert in this. I just know how right. I perceive
how
things.
You feel. And mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's just, it's like, if you're looking at the other side of the main competitive candidate with former President Trump, it's like, it's hard to get past his rhetoric, how he talks, how he speaks about people, for him to be the leader of the free world is wild to me. And it all stems back to that movie Idiocracy, Mike Judge.
Yep, classic.
It's
classic.
Like this whole celebrity idolisms and like just idolizing these celebrities and these people. And it's like, I truly believe he doesn't care about the people that he's targeting. He just knows what to say to get people behind him.
For sure, man. Totally.
And I'm not to say that doesn't work for Kamala either. You know, it's all politics. It's all a game. Unfortunately, that's just the way it goes. There's going to be pandering. Right. There's going to be campaign. There's going to be shots fired. There's going to be, you know,
agendas.
Conspiracy theories, agendas, personal interests, all that stuff. So I don't know. People know who they're going to vote for weeks, months in advance.
Right. Their minds already made up.
And like for some reason, Trump could do no wrong in those people's eyes. Like it's like it's crazy. He'll say the craziest. And it's like and I truly believe it's more so on the people not wanting to lose again than actually supporting him. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know how when someone like they'll double down on something,
yep,
only because they don't want to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what it is.
Right.
As opposed to be like, you know what? Y'all right. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And the thing is, you could still, like, you don't have to defect to be a Kamala supporter. You could do write-ins. You could do research on other candidates, right? Doesn't have to be right. One or the other. It goes back to, you know, why does it got to be this or that? Like,
right.
I honestly, truly feel like they just don't want to be wrong again. And right. Whenever and it's you know, when you're growing up and you're playing ball and you're losing, or you're playing video game and you're losing, and they're like, oh, you're cheating.
Yep.
And it, like, you're literally just doing the same move over and over and over, and they get upset and it's like you're cheating. That's literally what's happening.
Man, couldn't have said it any better than you, man. And you know, we'll see. Just had to definitely hear what you had to say about this, you know, but this historic occurrence and everything like that. And I just want to say, I was thinking about this, like, this week. I'm just like, we're like behind in terms of that progression of having, you know, our president be a woman. Like, why the hell not? I love it. Like, let's do it. Let's get some progress. Let's move forward with this stuff. Like, it's about moving forward. And you know, she says, you know, we won't go back and stuff.
I mean,
like that.
And not for nothing, like her, like picking Walz, I didn't know who he was until and it was a great decision. Like, I seen his background and what he's done for Minnesota, I'm like, oh, okay, all right, you know. But I'll end with this. Have you ever seen it was an HBO show called The Newsroom?
I saw the first season, very good show. I need to
watch it. First episode of the first season, the first 7 minutes, the cold open. And how he basically, spoiler alert, but he's at a NYU student symposium, and there is a panel. There's someone from the Democrat Party, there's someone from the Republican Party, and he's a news anchor on a fictional, like CNN, whatever.
Yeah.
He's the main anchor. And they're asking him questions, these hard-hitting questions, and he's kind of deflecting. He's like, whatever. He's making jokes, whatever. And the moderator's like, no, I need you to answer this question. And the question was, why is America the greatest country in the world? And he goes, he's like, it's not. We're last in this. We're first in incarceration per capita. We're last in literacy. Like, he's just going down facts. And this show came out
years ago, like decades
2010.
Ago. At least a decade ago. At least.
Yeah, more than a decade ago.
More than
2010, 2011, something like that. Yeah. And it's that speech is still prevalent to today.
Definitely, man. You know,
so I don't know if this is gonna fix. I don't like the word "fix" is such a oof. Like, this country has a lot of work to do.
Yeah, yeah,
there's a lot of work to do. We're one of the greatest countries for sure, but to be the greatest, like,
a lot of work to do.
There's a lot of people that can't even cursive.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people that can't even they can't read at a level they should be reading at, like.
Something to think
like
about,
I didn't know how to do taxes until like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
what are we right. talking about? You know,
right. It's so, everything you're saying, yeah, bro. It's everything you're saying. It's a lot. It's something to think about. And actually, you know, with you saying you'll close, like, yeah, man. It's funny. I actually saw a quote today that I wonder, like, if you know what your thoughts are with it. Something that Harrison Ford said. It's interesting. Obviously, we have a lot more stuff to do, but he said America's, in his eyes, is already great. We just have to work together again. And I was like, interesting. I like that.
Yeah.
Work together. You know, I know there's a lot of different opinions. Like, we just had this whole conversation about different, you know, different experiences. And, you know, it's just something to think about. I was beginning to wonder, I'm like, man, like, if we kind of just like work, you know, what? I'm not saying it's going to be kumbaya. It's going to be difficult. Duh. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm just like saying, like, you know, it's crazy what we, you know, if we all kind of just like, you know,
I'll say this jokingly. It's like, you know, when America post World War II was going through the whole infrastructure and creating highways and you know, creating the metropolises, and you look now and you know, I'm sure you go down any street in Philadelphia and that pothole's still there 5 years from now.
Yes.
And it's like that's like a microcosm of what's going on in this country. It's like, how are we not fixing the things that need to be fixed?
Right. It's a, you know, it's something to definitely think about. But yeah, man, we'll see, you know, we'll certainly see what happens.
Who's to say? We'll see what happens.
Yeah, man. But I just want to say, man, once again, like, thank you so much for being on this show and providing your perspective and being on this platform. I really appreciate it. And, you know, you have an amazing background, amazing story, and amazing, you know, view on such a layered topic. It's not easy to talk about. I can tell you for a fact, there have been people I've spoken with who, you know, love the subject matter of this, but are a little hesitant to speak about it because of how difficult it can be. And I completely understand that. So to come on here and put yourself out there like that, I just want to say it's amazing, man. On top of everything that you already do in the beautiful city of Philadelphia, with you and your team and you as an individual in general, man.
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you.
I want to say thank you to you for providing a platform. Like it's one of those things where, you know, when you provide a space to help to bring people on, this might help people. You never know. And you, between you and the fellas at the wrestling crew, like, always show love, and it's always a good time and positive people. Like, it's all resonance. I like you. You automatically become be around people that you are comfortable with. You have a good positive energy around. And I just want to say thank you for having this platform. This is really, when you asked me, I was like, that sounds dope. Like, I'm mad I didn't think of it, but hey, why not? Like, I'm here. Like, we go all eat at the table, you know what I'm saying? So congrats to you, man. I hope this does really well. And, you know, I hope, you know, I could bring some insights to some things.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Have a good one. Talk to you Absolutely. Next time, man.